Hello, everyone. I'm Becca, dietitian by trade, mom 24/7, wife from the start, and when there's a few extra hours in the day, you might find me hitting the trails or on horseback.
And I'm Kara, a therapist to women, a mom to a boy, an entrepreneur, mountain junkie, and a postpartum runner.
And this is Fit for a Queen, a podcast that's devoted to the female athlete wanting to balance the teeter-totter of all the things we desire out of life as women. Performance, health, intellect, and taking time for self, even if we only get 1 minute out of the day.
We're so excited to be bringing you the queens in the athletic world who have done just that. Okay, ladies, take a seat at your thrones, grab your crowns, and welcome to Fit for a Queen.
Welcome back, queens. We are lucky enough to have Heather Kaplan with us today. Let me tell you a little bit about Heather. Heather Kaplan is a registered dietitian with a private practice. She focuses on intuitive and mindful eating practices for athletes, primarily runners, to help them hone fueling strategies and reduce risk of injury. She's also a co-founder of the Lane 9 Project, a nonprofit raising awareness of and providing a community for women who have struggled with the female athlete triad. Her work has been published in a variety of national publications such as Runner's World, Motorsports, Women's Health, Women's Running, Outside Online, and Runners Connect, and in Fitness and Eating Well magazines. Heather, you also have a podcast, don't you?
I do.
Yeah, it's RD Real Talk.
Awesome. So check that out as well. Yeah, so first of all, I'd love to hear a little bit about your personal story and how Lane 9 Project came about.
Sure. So I am a registered dietitian, as you mentioned, which means that I studied nutrition in my undergrad program. And I really started from my freshman year. So one of my first classes I took was Intro to Nutrition. And I kind of got into that class and was really cocky about everything I thought I knew about nutrition from like reading magazines and doing all my own studying, with air quotes around studying, of course. And that class actually was pretty easy for me, but I did learn a lot. And that kind of just set off what was already becoming a pretty disordered relationship with food. And as I was studying nutrition for 4 years, it just became kind of my way of justifying how I ate. So I thought I was being really healthy, and what would now be probably considered orthorexia, with pretty severe restrictions. So I lost my period. I didn't have that for about 6 years, starting when I was 18. And no one ever really told me that what I was doing was unhealthy. And so to me, it was fine. You know, I had doctors who knew that I wasn't getting a period and just gave me birth control pills. And I didn't really talk to anyone about what was going on. I think I kind of knew because of my low body weight that I probably wasn't being super healthy. But again, when you're kind of in that disordered mind, you see it differently. Mm-hmm. So for a long time, I thought I was just being healthy and I was just following all the nutrition rules. So then as I kind of came out of my eating disorder and realized that, you know, I kind of slowly gained weight over the years and got my period back eventually and got into running and learned to sort of respect what my body was able to do and what I wanted to do with it through running and how that could kind of feel good if I was fueling well enough and resting and knowing what my limits were. And so I kind of just came into recovery very gradually on my own. And about a year ago, or I guess now about 2 years ago, I met Sam, who's one of my Lane 9 co-founders, through a running group in DC. We met through the Wazelle community group. Wazelle's a women's apparel company. So we met through that running group and then just kind of started doing some runs on our own. And she mentioned that she was not having a period and thought it might be because of stress. She had just moved to the area and graduated college and started a new job. So she just sort of opened up to me about it, which I'm really grateful for. And I told her, you know, I've been there. I know what you're going through. And I know it's hard to talk about because no one really talks about these things. Mm-hmm. So we had a lot of open conversations about that. And then a few months later, Alexis emailed me because she was working on a project for her graduate program. And she needed to interview a dietitian. So she interviewed me about my job, which I was working for a startup at the time. And the very next day, we were all laid off. So I emailed her back and was like, you know, you can include that in your story. Like, it's risky to work for startups. So she and I connected through that way. And she had mentioned during our conversation that she was writing her thesis on the female athlete triad, or she was planning to. And so I kind of connected the three of us and we went for a run together. And just kind of started noticing a lot of similarities in our stories, in that, you know, what we were doing with restricting food and kind of eliminating food groups and eating a certain way never seemed unusual to anyone because it's so normalized in our culture. Mm-hmm. And also that not having a period wasn't a red flag to anyone, including coaches.
Right.
So we kind of just came together and thought, you know, we don't know what we can do about this, but we have to be able to do something. So. Mm-hmm. Here we are.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about Lane 9 and what's your guys' mission out there with the project?
Our mission is first and foremost to raise awareness of the female athlete triad, which we can go into a little more detail about that. But really just kind of bringing awareness to the fact that not having a period isn't normal. Mm-hmm. I've read some surveys that I think fewer than 10% of coaches know what the female athlete triad is, which means that they probably also don't know that women on their team, no matter what their age, if they're not having a period or if they have delayed menses, meaning they don't go through puberty until a certain age, that that's not normal.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to raise awareness of that. We also, as we got started, it happened to be the National Eating Disorder Awareness Week, mm-hmm. the week that we decided to launch our website, which is on Medium. And so we started by just telling our stories. So I think the theme last year was, let's talk about it. So we were like, okay, let's start with that, you know? So after kind of a few months of going back and forth about what we wanted to do and where we wanted to start and who we wanted to reach out to, we just kept it really simple and started with our personal stories and putting them on our Medium page. And that just garnered a reaction that we could never have predicted. We had so many people email us that week, and we had, you know, 100 people join our mailing list, and we're like, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
And we had included in our mailing list sign up, we included a section that said, do you have a personal story that you want to share with Lane 9? And so that kind of, because we saw such a response from that, we saw a need for people to have a space where it was okay to talk about this. So we really focused a lot of our efforts earlier this year on providing that space for women. So we've done a few meetups here in DC. We have some ambassadors in different cities, as you guys know,
mm-hmm.
and we're trying to expand our reach, but also just, again, create that safe space where women can talk about this and also where they can realize that, you know, this isn't healthy, and there are ways to recover from it, and there are ways to get help, both through nutrition, which I try to help out with, and we've connected with a lot of dietitians, you know, talking to more coaches. This coming year, one of our goals is trying to get back to that grassroots mission of really connecting with people locally, and that being physicians who work with women, mm-hmm. and coaches who coach cross country or track teams for girls/women, and just kind of talking to them and helping them see that, you know, the more we can have these conversations, the more we can not continue to normalize eating disorders and not continue to normalize amenorrhea, then the better off all of these athletes and women will be in the long term.
Yeah, that education is so needed. That statistic about coaches is so kind of crazy.
It's mind-blowing.
I know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, please tell us a little bit about the female athlete triad if people are not familiar, and why is fueling and resting the body so important for our health and performance as females?
So the female athlete triad, as you might guess, has three components. It is low energy availability, low bone mass or bone mineral density, and a loss of menses or delayed menstruation. So, for example, Sam has been open in her story about not getting a period until she was in her late teens. So that's something that should have presented as a red flag. And Alexis had a stress fracture in college, and her coach encouraged her to run through it and to keep going. We've had other people who have submitted essays saying that they were cross-country athletes. One girl, I think, had up to like 8 or 9 stress fractures throughout the course of her college career, and never was that considered unusual. The low energy availability is kind of the harder one to really diagnose, I guess, especially if you're a coach. It's just not something you're probably going to be aware of. But if the girls or women are working with a dietitian, if they're on a team, or if they start to notice chronic fatigue or trouble sleeping, trouble getting through their workouts and hitting paces and things like that, that's probably a sign that you're under fueling for what you're trying to achieve through your training. And that can even be true of someone who's just a hobby runner. You know, I think another thing we see a lot with our stories is that women will write in saying that they didn't think they deserved treatment, or that they were worthy of treatment, or you know, fill in the blank, because they didn't consider themselves an athlete. So even the name can be a little bit isolating. And, you know, women will write in and say, I'm just a hobby runner. I just ran my first 10K, but I don't have a period. And, you know, my body weight's pretty low. I have a low BMI. And they just don't identify with the triad because it's not, they don't think of themselves as like a collegiate athlete or an elite athlete or a competitive athlete, you know, whatever it might be. So there's probably some room for improvement there. But yeah, the three aspects are low energy availability, meaning that either through underfueling, overtraining, or both, you're not meeting your body's energy needs or nutrient needs. And then low bone mass, which at a really young age can be problematic because we only build bone mass up to a certain age in our early 20s. And then that kind of can put you at risk for these stress fractures and other types of overuse injuries. And then lack of menses or amenorrhea. Some people have no idea what that word means. So not getting a period is what I'm talking about.
Yeah, we've had that topic brought up a lot. And, you know, Tina Muir has been on here and we're thankful, but we just hope that we'll continue to follow, like you said, missions like yours that get the voice out. What's interesting is, you know, running can be really helpful, but it also can be really harmful. It seems like it's been very much a part of your story for your health and wellness, your role in recovery. How were you able to take that path rather than one that was harmful?
Yeah, we see that a lot with the people who are submitting stories. And I think I definitely fall on the opposite side of the spectrum for most people. So running for me, I say, was part of my recovery in that I started running longer distances my senior year of high or college. I played soccer in high school and largely hated running up to that point. And then in college, it became initially a way to burn calories that was really efficient. So I'd run on the treadmill and you only had like 20 minutes or something, and that really frustrated me. And then my senior year of college, I got into distance running and I signed up for a half marathon, which is kind of a longer story, but one of my roommates motivated me to do it. So we did that. And I remember so vividly going for my very first long run, which I had no idea what that meant or where I was going or what I was doing, but I knew I had to run for a long amount of time. And so I just arbitrarily decided that Sunday I was going to go for a 1 hour run. And this was February in Pennsylvania. It is not nice outside. It's not warm. I waited until the afternoon so that it was like maybe 25 degrees. And I remember that morning eating more than I normally would have, because I was like, well, I'm running. Like, I have to make sure that I don't get hungry while I'm running. Of course, I didn't think to bring snacks or water or anything like that. It was not on my radar. And then I remember walking around a Walmart after I ran for an hour, and I was really proud of myself. And I was like grabbing snacks to go home with, you know, I was like, oh, I'm going to go home and eat. So for me, that process just became a way for me to help respect my body. It helped me respect my body. It helped me learn what I could do if I were eating well and eating enough and training. And that's not to say that I ever saw it as a way to manipulate my body. It was just sort of like, this is pretty cool that I can do this if I treat myself really well, you know, and if I sleep well and I eat well and I rest and I put in my miles and I enjoy it. So I got into half marathons by doing that. And part of my story that I think is really unique, and I can't even really explain this, is that the month before I ran my very first marathon is when my period came back. Wow. So I was about 23, 24. Mm-hmm. And it was a shock even to me. I was like, whoa, this seems like the last time that this would come back. Right. It wasn't after my marathon, it was right before it. Mm-hmm. So for me, like, that was kind of like, okay, I must be doing something right, because even though that's a time when stress levels are kind of high, for me, I must have just been balancing, you know, rest and nutrition and running well enough at the time that it allowed my body to recover. Mm-hmm. So we say at Lane 9, like, we believe running or recovery is possible and running can be part of it. Sure. But I also recognize, both in the work that I do with nutrition clients and running clients and the stories that we've seen, that is definitely not always the case. And more often than not, people benefit much more by taking a break from running or whatever activity of choice they choose to do. Mm-hmm.
So how do you plan to continue this love for running now as you approach motherhood? Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
And I read your post last night about running in pregnancy. And where are you at with all of that?
I'm in like a really calm space with it now. I think initially it frustrated me a little bit that running did not feel so great. And it definitely felt terrible to me. But lots of bathroom breaks to fill people in who are listening. At this point, I'm 30 weeks along, so like getting close. And the last time I ran was probably like a week and a half ago or so. A couple weeks ago, we did like a 5-mile trail run that was a like sanctioned event that included a lot of walking for me. You know, like some people that I was out there with finished like 20 minutes ahead of me. I'm like, wow, in 5 miles, like, that's impressive. running has just been, I've come to a place where it's sort of, I'm able to do it when I can and I don't put any pressure on myself. It's dark outside and it's getting colder and my bladder always feels like it's about to explode when I start running. It takes me about 10 minutes to really get into it. And I've done like run walk intervals. So it'll be like the third interval before it feels even remotely comfortable. And because of that, I'm not putting any like guidelines in place of like, oh, I should run once a week or whatever, like if I can, then I do. But I became pregnant around like April, May. And so for me going into the DC summer was probably the biggest challenge. Like the months where running could have been very easy, it was just hard because it's 100 degrees and humid here. I felt like very overheated. I had to bring a ton of water on my runs. I would get really thirsty really fast. I'd get tired really fast, which is kind of always the case in the summer. But it just felt exasperated for me. So I was like, you know what? This is just not the time.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like listening to your body. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think of, I can't remember her name right now, but the gal that ran at the 800 as she was like 8 months pregnant and just... We forget how amazing our body is, that it can grow a human being and still let you do these amazing athletic endeavors. So,
Alicia Montano, is who you're thinking of. Yeah. And I tell people too, like for me, I was injured this spring. So when I found out I was pregnant and, you know, we were planning, like we were trying, it's not like it was a huge shock to me, but I was just getting back into running like 2 or 3 miles. So there was never going to be a point in this pregnancy where like running 6 to 7 miles was normal for me. Right, you know, I wasn't there when I started. So I already had this perspective of like, you can do what's normal for you. And that's generally what's considered safe. Mm-hmm. So for me, like what was normal was not going out for 7 mile runs, you know? So I'm like, okay, I get like 2 to 3 miles on occasion, like 5 or 6. I think I ran a 10K like really early on before it got super hot. And that was kind of like, that's where I probably draw the line.
So how does one get involved or even start a Lane 9 project near them?
So we have an application for ambassadors, although we've kind of put a hold on that just for the three of us to keep our bandwidth like within reasonable range. But certainly reach out to us if you're interested. The email is lane9project@gmail.com. We have the newsletter that we send out every week. And if you sign up for the newsletter or if you just email us, there's a place where you can say, you know, I'm interested in sharing a story and we'd love to hear from you. We have personal essays shared on the Medium page almost every week, sometimes a couple per week. And we just kind of want to create that space where people can talk about what they're going through right now, if that's what's comfortable to them, or what they've gone through in the past and they kind of feel ready to open up about it. There has not been a single essay that we've posted that hasn't resonated with someone in a unique way. You know, we all have different parts of our story that are unique to us and that are just going to be our experience. And then we have parts that really resonate with everyone else who's gone through something similar. So on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, we're just at Lane9Project. So we're pretty easy to find. And yeah, if you're interested in starting it in your city, we would love that. We're trying, like I said earlier, we're trying to get back to kind of the grassroots movement. So we want to talk to coaches and physicians. So if you work with a collegiate team or you know physicians you could reach out to or connect with and you want us to send you some materials, like we're all for it. Nice. So yeah, reach out. We'd love to hear from you.
Great. It's a great resource, really, like you said, with those personal stories and information, too. So definitely connecting to that website. So we ask every interviewee how they themselves live the FIT philosophy at the end of each interview. So how do you look at
your performance, health, intellect, and time for self. So how do you find the balance in your own life, Heather?
Oh, man. I would say right now it's just kind of like doing what feels good to me, you know, and I think that's pregnancy is definitely a lesson in taking care of yourself, because I think initially you realize that some of the ways you justify things is like, oh, well, the baby needs it. And I've had a lot of moments where I step back and I'm like, what if I just needed it? Like, then would it be okay? You know?
Yeah, it's all about the baby already, right?
right. So yeah, I think, you know, for me, even with running prior to pregnancy, it was like, what feels good? What keeps me happy and motivated? You know, I haven't trained for anything with any sort of level of intensity in a couple years. I think I burned out from that a little bit. So just kind of noticing when you feel yourself pulling back a little bit, or when you notice yourself wanting to lean into something and being aware of that. And then, you know, with eating, I follow an intuitive eating approach. So for me, it's been less about nutrition and diet rules and more about eating the foods that I like and eating to satisfaction, which has been a process for me. But I can't imagine not doing that now, especially in pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And then just resting. I think, you know, we undervalue rest so much. Mm-hmm. And just kind of noticing the days where, like, it's okay to just get 100 steps, you know, and being okay with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Heather, thanks so much for being on. We wish you the best of luck in these final weeks before baby gets here.
Thanks.
We'll be thinking of you. And for those who want more information about the Lane Project and Heather, you can go to medium.com/Lane9Project. Thanks so much, Heather, for being on.
Yeah. Thank you guys for having me.
Yes. See ya.
Bye,
Queens. Bye.
Thank you to our sponsor today, Sentimano Counseling. Sentimano Counseling is the premier perinatal mental health practice in Kansas City, treating mood disorders during pregnancy and postpartum, perinatal loss, infertility, eating, and exercise disorders. Go to sentimano.com for further information about the practice and services. For additional information on today's topic and guests, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at FitForAQueen.
And hashtag fit for a queen.
And don't forget to rate us on iTunes. We can't wait for you to join us next time on Fit for a Queen.
Bye, queens.